Well, we've just heard the reading of the Passion according to the Gospel writer, Luke. And we normally hear it from a different Gospel writer each year. And so we like to say, what's the point of emphasis that this particular Gospel writer brings to this story? And so we've been hearing from Luke the last many of the last several weeks in our church year. Just a couple of weeks ago, we heard from Luke as we heard him tell the parable of the prodigal son. This was a typical of his wanting to convey the extreme and utter forgiveness of God at God's wanting to have all return and to be close to him. In our reading just a few moments ago, now we've been hearing Jesus say from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Only Luke includes this word of forgiveness from the cross. He who is all forgiving, he is the one who does that. He's forgiven people that have been around him during this process. There is Pilate, too weak to do what he knows is right. There are the Jewish crowds who call for Jesus to be crucified. There are the guards who hurt him and make fun of him. There are the soldiers who nail him to the cross. We didn't hear any of them cry out and say, "Lord, forgive me." But yet Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The people were calling Jesus the King of the Jews, but he does not use this power to get back at them. Rather, he uses the power that he has as the King of all to heal the servant's ear, as the servant's ear is cut off. And he goes through all of this to save them and to save all people. He uses his power for healing and for redemption. Not for political means. At the end of his life, Jesus says, according to Luke, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." He's accepting his plight and peacefully commends his life to God. This sounds different than the, my God, why have you forsaken me, that we hear in Mark and Matthew. Here in Luke, this is not so much a cry of despair, but of peaceful rest. God's plan is now complete. Another thing unique to Luke is how he writes about Judas. They all, the Gospels, associate Judas with money. But Luke is the only one who says that Satan entered into Judas before he began his betrayal. So this is more than just one man's doing. This is part of a much bigger plan of God against the devil. In Luke, Jesus seems much more inclusive of Judas also. In Matthew and Mark, Judas joins the disciples at the Last Supper for the first part of the meal, where we might say just a plain supper, but then Judas leaves before they get into what we would call the institution of Holy Communion. But in Luke, Judas is present for the whole evening, for the communion as well. Reminds us that Jesus invites all to the table. Jesus does not exclude. His forgiveness is like that. In Luke, we hear of Jesus eating at other times with sinners, with tax collectors, with Pharisees, with Jewish leaders. He even eats at this meal with Peter, who is his betrayer. Jesus eats with sinners. The sacramental meal he institutes with Judas at the table is a meal for sinners. The meal we receive that we now take from that meal is a meal for sinners. We, as sinners, come to the Lord's table. In other Gospels, it says that Jesus said it would have been better if Judas had not been born. But Luke doesn't say that. In this part, Luke is saying this is part of the destiny, that God and Satan are having this conflict, and this is part of the plan. If God's plan is going to succeed, this part of it needs to be made. There must be a way for the Son of God to die. And in order for forgiveness to be brought to the world, this has to happen. It's not that what Judas did was okay to do, but his actions allowed the plan of God to go forward. We can say that for Judas, forgiveness was offered, but he didn't accept the forgiveness that was there. He didn't repent and receive it. God is showing in the death of Jesus on the cross that forgiveness is offered to all people, to all wrongdoers. The question to us as it was to Judas, will we receive it? Will we repent? Will we receive the gift of forgiveness that's offered to us? We can be shocked through a reading like this how wide the mercy of God is. We can stand there at the cross and with the others and think that Jesus endured all of that for us. How much love he has for us. Our lesson today from Philippians pointed out how Jesus emptied himself so that we might have life because of him. And we know that Satan has entered each one of us by virtue of the fact that we were born as human beings and with original sin. We know we think many bad things and we do many bad things to others and to Jesus. Yet we know and are glad to know that as Jesus died for Judas, he wants to come, he died for us. And as he wants us to own up to what we've done, to say, yes, Lord, I am a sinner and I've sinned in these ways, and to receive the forgiveness that he offers us. He wants us to receive that forgiveness he offers us so that we need not despair, but rather live with the word of joy that comes to us and appreciate the forgiving goodness that God has in mind for us. When we come to the meal of the Lord, he receives us just as we are, sinful though we be, just as he received Judas. He receives us so that we might leave the meal of communion, knowing that we are thoroughly forgiven and at one with him, at one with the Father, and at one with one another. Amen.